Hello, my name is Simon Pearce and I have the absolute pleasure of being the chair of the LGBT network for Cumbria, Northumberland, Tyne and Wear NHS Foundation Trust. It is important right now to state very clearly that all views expressed in this podcast are most definitely my own. For those of you who follow our Twitter account, you will have seen that we created a booklet called Our Authentic Selves. That booklet is full of stories and our experiences around coming out. To complement that, what we did was created a series of videos. Now, unfortunately, due to lockdown, we weren't able to complete those because of the restrictions that were in place. However, the ones that we have got are great, but I wanted to supplement that as well by bringing a couple of guests on to the podcast to talk about their stories so you could hear them, because they were really important stories to hear. For this podcast, we've got Em talking to us. Em identifies as non-binary, and this is the conversations that we had. Thank you very much, Em, for coming and talking to us today about what it's like being non-binary.
You're extremely welcome. Pleasure to be here.
Brilliant to have you here. So, Em, let's talk about what it is being non-binary. What does that mean to you? Because there's a lot of people out there that don't understand non-binary. When did you first identify that there was something different about you, and how do you come to the realisation that it is what you are?
I think I always felt very uncomfortable in girly clothing. That family members would invest in very expensive dresses that they would put on me, and I would then scream and have a huge tantrum, to the extent where my mum thought that I was a trans boy, because I would get so upset about having to wear like feminine clothing from a young age. I think I always felt that I was extremely uncomfortable with being called young lady. I remember that it goes through me. It goes through me now, for sure. I remember being very uncomfortable with it, but just not having any idea how to express that.
Yeah.
Because I'm constantly being called young lady, little girl, that sort of thing, as a kid. But I had like no other option. I just remember looking at my brother and my friends, which were most of them were boys at the time, and thinking, well, why can't I be like them? Why can't I have jeans and stuff? Why do I have to wear dresses and impractical things that just make no sense? Or at the same time, I didn't want to be a boy. I didn't want to be defined in that way.
Okay.
So for a long time, I was really stuck with this feeling of discomfort and not knowing where to go with that and where that would fit.
What age were you around that time, Em?
Oh, the screaming and the dresses, age 5.
Wow, so you were really early when you started experiencing those thoughts and feelings.
Yeah, there's a sort of very vivid picture that I've got, because people keep relaying the story to me, of me screaming in this dress, sat on the bottom step, refusing to leave the house when we have to go to some sort of family gathering. Because I'm in this dress,
I can see that. Yeah.
So yeah, I think that there's always been that sort of discomfort with the gender roles in general. And then I don't think I really, I just sort of went along with things without having any sort of alternative made aware, you know, to me, until I went to university and studied philosophy, and I really started to think about what is the purpose of gender, where is this idea of a gender binary coming from. And it occurred to me how theoretically bizarre it is that we have a mythology attached to genitalia that's so pervasive in modern society, that you either are one or the other. And if there's deviations, you know, from your roles within those, then you are effectively persecuted, and I found it very strange that we carry this mythology so heavily with us and impose it on people with such strength that we feel like there's nowhere else to go. So
on that, can I just question there about that mythology from the research that you were doing? Have we always, as human beings, had that binary thought processes about gender? Or has that become something that's more prevalent in the last 100 years or so?
I think initially that binary probably served simple purposes in terms of who's available for reproduction.
Right.
And sort of like more basic things about societal roles, I'm guessing here. But it's become an extremely complex mythology, down to what people wear, how they act, what you can do with your hair, or what you can do with your pubic hair, all kinds of bizarre details. It's become such a hugely complex thing, far more than the instrumental thing it might have originally served.
I put that down because I want, you know, during the awareness training sessions that I provide, when we talk about gender and gender being a construct, I try to look at that from, well, it's society driven by manufacturers who want to appeal and make money, so they specifically target things. This is what you must have if you're this and if you're that.
Oh yeah, it's definitely a perpetuating factor at the very least, for sure. And I think it's also, people think that it's simpler to have two. In fact, it would be a lot simpler to not bother yourself so much about genitalia, if you know what I mean.
No, absolutely. Rather than be like,
you're either a man or a woman, and if you're a man, then that means this, and if you're a woman, that means that. If you don't have those concepts and deviations between those concepts, which occur all the time, you know, women now wear trousers, you know, which was a massive deviation. So if those deviations are no longer an issue, you take away the problem, the more you sort of like move away from the mythology or make allowances outside of the binary.
I don't think it's people. So much
humans
easier.
And stuff.
Because
I don't feel like outside of the medical side of things, there isn't very much more information you can get from somebody's genitalia. It's not going to tell you very much about them.
Very true.
So
very true.
Yeah, I found it very strange. Once I'd thought about it a bit. And then I stopped putting my gender on forms from uni onwards, this 2010 sort of thing. And I didn't do anything else apart from just take umbrage when gender was mentioned on forms.
Yep.
But if there was no other option, I wouldn't take it up. You know, I wasn't going to follow that up with an email.
Which camp do you sit in with regards to gender? It's a bone of contention with me. On the forms, it says gender. Male or female? Well, I say, well, that's my sex. That's not my gender. And sometimes, if I'm in a stroppy mood, I will write, well, not neither, because I'm a man, but I'm a male. But
thank you so much, by the way, for that bit of advocacy. Because the concepts are very distinct in terms of sex or gender.
Yeah.
And a lot of the time, I'm finding, you know, strange agencies asking what is in my pants, when what they really want to know is how do I identify? I think it's a really important distinction to make, a very simple one, and, you know, one that anybody who is constructing a form could maybe have a quick look at to resolve. But it's a constant source of difficulty.
I suppose growing up with those thoughts going through your head as well and trying to find your path would be very difficult as well, because society isn't structured that way to give that. I mean, they struggle as it is with LGBT, and we know what the T aspect of that has been going through recently. To then throw in non-binary to that, they're just going to think, oh my God, what the hell's happening? People just don't get it. And you don't have that representation in front of you either when you're growing up to be able to say, well, yeah, I can see where I need to be going with that.
Absolutely. I had a friend in high school who transitioned from female to male. And I remember feeling such admiration for him and thinking, God, is that what I want to do? And I talked to my best friend, who also didn't feel comfortable being identifying as a woman. And we were like, do we want to be boys? Do we want to be men? This is so difficult.
Yeah.
But I ended up thinking, well, no, we just don't want to be defined in that way.
Yeah.
It was very confusing not having that option And looking at my friend who was a trans man and thinking, is that what I am? Is that what I should be doing?
Yeah.
Because that looks great. But yeah, it was this sort of deviation from the assigned role that I think I thought was
Yes. Yeah.
really admirable.
One thing that we haven't mentioned, is pronouns. I mean, I should have asked you what your pronouns are and how you prefer to be identified with regards to pronouns. So what are your pronouns and how do you prefer to be?
Yeah, perhaps I should have mentioned it. I use they, them.
Okay.
And I don't mind if people get it wrong.
Okay.
That's fine. I think it's just really important to remember that if you're trying, I'm happy.
Yeah.
You know, if people get it wrong, there's no need to apologize. It's fine. We can just get it right and move on, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry.
Yeah. It seems to be. It seems to be something that people get really nervous about.
Yes.
There's absolutely no need. If you're trying out, I'm happy, you know.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of thoughts around pronouns and lots of people feel, oh, my God, what this is all about and why do you have to do that? And they feel rude by saying they, them. And, you know, I try to explain to people that it's showing respect for that individual and their identity by actually using pronouns that they want to. From your perspective, just generally speaking, why do you feel that pronouns are important?
The first time that somebody called me they, I got this little spark of like, oh, that feels right. It's it's like somebody getting your name right or something like just somebody noticing something about you like that. It's just really a lovely feeling to be acknowledged in the way that you feel that you want to come across. I think is a really sweet feeling.
And that's a really lovely way to explain it as well, that way. I've never heard that explained that way, and I think that is really, really nice. I mean, for people that don't get pronouns, how would you explain pronouns to them?
I think I probably have to ask them individually where the confusion lies, because it's just like you know, she and him, but it's like saying they. See, for example, if you're talking to a robot, you know, robots are characters that are generally not gendered. So
yes.
That's a sort of a familiar concept that people can think about and think. Or, you know, if, there's somebody at the door, what do they want?
Yes.
It's a natural part of language in some parts.
Yeah.
We just have to sort of remind ourselves that it's already there, really.
And that's one of the examples that I do use as well in the awareness training sessions about. We use it every day, but you don't realise that you're using it. Like people say, where's Bill or John or Ted or Mary? Oh, they're down the pub or they're out the garden. That you use it all the time without realising that you use it.
Yeah, that's very true.
I think pronouns are important, like I say, because I think I understand what you're saying about if you stumble, just say, oops, sorry, next time get it right and just move on. Don't make a play on it and don't really pound that mistake. Otherwise, it makes it worse, doesn't it?
It feels like fussing.
Yeah, and it's all about respect at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. So where does Em go then in part of her journey when you've done all this philosophy?
Yeah, I've done my philosophy. Decided I didn't like the idea of gender in general. Wasn't putting gender on the forms if I could help it. And then I met my partner who is gender neutral, and I realized that like you can actually live this life, you can actually represent the way that you like identify outside of the gender binary in your everyday life. I had never met somebody who was non-binary before. It was a huge eye-opener for me that this was an identity I could walk around with. I didn't have to just put it on forms and sort of keep my discomforts to myself. I could wear it on my sleeve if I wanted to.
How does that feel for you when you actually make that revelation?
Really liberating, for sure.
Uh-huh.
And it was scary because I know that my partner has a difficult life, a more difficult life for having made this decision. But it's the integrity involved in the decision to represent yourself honestly, which I thought was incredible. And I thought, I want to be that honest. I want to sort of represent myself, even if it is difficult. It might be easier for other people in the future if I can do this now. So yeah, I sort of got it from them and went from there.
And that what you say there about that being honest with yourself is a current theme that we all experience in the LGBTQIA rainbow. Once we actually identify who we are to ourselves, that's part of the battle over us, because then we can move forward. We can deal with the others. It's difficult dealing with the others, but we can deal with them knowing what we know about who we are within ourselves, which makes it a lot easier, I guess, doesn't it?
Absolutely. It's made a big difference in terms of the way that I see myself. Like, I can allow myself to look a little bit different, or be a little bit more myself in ways that other people might not understand. Because I feel like it's coming from this place of honesty. Although I'm scared, it feels so much more honest.
And what were people like around you,
My mum is great. She's an absolute force of nature and has been fighting a lot of battles with me. And even in my absence, when I haven't had the time, to try and make me feel included and represented, which has just been incredible. My siblings, I have three, two of them are LGBT, and they're great. They were just like, eh, whatever. It's another,
Brilliant.
definitely you.
That's really good. And are you out at work?
I am. So I wasn't so much in my previous workplace, because I felt so unsteady about it and scared, again, scared. But I decided to start my new role as me, which is
Brilliant.
so frightening. And I ran through all the possibilities of how people might react, and none of those nightmares came true. It was
Brilliant.
amazing. It was
That
really
is really,
amazing.
really good. That is really good.
Yeah, and it's
And then
something
we
that I've
found you and
never.
got brought you into the network, which is
Sorry?
really excellent. I says, and then we found you and brought you into the network as well, which is
Yeah.
really good.
Actually, having sort of like met you before I moved over to CNTW, and then knowing that there was a network, made me think, oh, maybe it won't be so hard. Maybe there will be somebody I can talk to if it is hard. And there's some sort of like internal support there, which is great because I've never seen that before in an organization.
Well, that's really nice to know that you feel that way and see that. And I think that's really important as well for, for folk that are listening to this. Having somebody to talk to is really paramount, isn't it? You don't want to feel alone. You need to know that there's somebody there that you can talk to, that can get you back, that can just, if necessary, if they don't understand it, at least listen.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like if I hadn't thought there was somebody that might support me in some way, I feel like I wouldn't have tried to raise the issues that I've tried to raise or advocate myself to the extent that I have. For sure.
So how do you see M moving forward with your life? How do you see things panning out for you?
I've had a bit of a difficult week, so you've caught me a slightly
Oh.
grumpy at times, I must say.
Well, you
And
don't come across as that, and I'm sorry to hear that.
it's okay. It's just there's just constant battles at the moment I can see on the horizon. I don't want to see it as conflict, but there's so many changes that aren't there for me to be included and for other non-binary people to be included, and I'm exhausted. It's draining, but I'm so determined that the next person that comes along that's non-binary might find a more welcoming workplace or might find a more inclusive form or whatever it is. But yeah, simple things like forms at the moment are enough to bring me to tears sometimes because it's so time consuming.
Yeah,
And this
I
week's been one of
think,
those weeks. Yeah.
right, I hear what you're saying, definitely hear what you're saying. I think, yeah, for those people that don't feel as if they're having to slot into a heteronormative society, don't feel that, and they don't understand why that is exhausting and why that is tiring. We just end up getting called snowflakes or whatever because we're trying to get something as it should be.
Absolutely, and I feel like a lot of the time I don't want to make a fuss, you know? I really don't want to make a fuss. I would so much rather that the forms included me, or that this or that included me, or this policy included me and other non-binary people. And I have to tell myself that I'm not doing it for me, I'm doing it for the next person that comes along that has the same problem, and that's the only way that I'm able to sort of justify advocating for myself. But I think people assume you want this to be about you, and I desperately don't. I really
No.
wish there wasn't the fuss.
So yeah, these struggles that we have to put up with are, and I think it's really, really admirable that you want to be able to pave the way for other people coming behind you, which I think is just great. What would what?
I kind of feel like I don't have a choice, really.
Yeah.
I either do it and try and make it right, or I compromise, my integrity, and I really don't feel comfortable doing it. Like, I really don't have
No,
a choice in it.
absolutely. And I don't think any of us, regardless of what our identity is, when our identity is different to that heteronormative society,
Hi.
we shouldn't need to compromise. We should be able to slot in and bring that uniqueness, bring that level of diversity, and bring that difference to that and make that society better.
Yeah, of course, because it's not just about staff, it's not just about people filling in the forms, it's about the people we fill out forms for sometimes, for sure. Yeah.
If you could go back in time and talk to your younger
Oh,
self, what advice would you give yourself?
I really don't know, because I was such a weird kid, and through my life I've gone through phases of being ashamed of that and then thinking, God, a cool little weird kid. And at the moment, I'm definitely thinking, God, what a cool little weird kid doing their own thing. Yeah, I would probably say, yeah, don't worry about what your grandparents think. That's a problem that's going to sort itself out, which is a horrible thing to
Okay. And he,
say.
it would make sense to you, your younger self, I'm guessing. And do you feel that you're happy and content with who you are now? Do you feel
Yeah,
you're being
absolutely. It's
your
been
true
really
self?
freeing not to have to fit myself into those boxes. And looking back on so many instances where, say, for example, I've tried to dress for a job interview and I've dressed in a sort of caricature of woman dressing for a job interview. And I've got a pencil skirt on and a blouse and I hate it. I hate myself and I just don't know why. I just can't put my finger on it. It's great to know what that was about now and to just kind of wear something more comfortable rather than trying to fit into that box and wondering why I hate it. Yeah, it was definitely the femininity, the level of femininity in the dressing that was the issue. The more feminine it was, the more I felt, oh, I don't know what I'm doing.
I mean, just to round it up about something positive about being non-binary for yourself.
Being non-binary, coming out as non-binary at work has been like a very new and such a fulfilling experience in terms of when people have accepted it. I've always been in disbelief. I've almost been like what? Sorry, I mean, like, I don't mind explaining things. If you have questions, please ask me. I couldn't believe how amazing the people around me have been about it. When they've gotten my pronouns wrong, correcting themselves, but then, quickly moving on and not making a big deal out of it. has just absolutely blown me away. It's not something that I had actually come across before, apart from in my small, like, you know, little tribe of queer friends. So to see this at work, you know, with such a, you know, diverse kind of workforce was just almost unbelievable. I really wasn't expecting it. I was expecting the worst. And I got some fantastic colleagues.
Well, that's positive, isn't it? We're at work more than what we are at home. Yeah. So it's important to have that positive.
Yeah, it's meant more to me than I thought it would. For sure. Yeah.
Thank you so very much for talking to us, and I hope, you know, people listening in have learnt a lot and get some better understanding as to what it is being non-binary.
Yeah, very welcome. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Em. Bye-bye. I really hope you enjoyed that conversation with me and Em as much as I did having that conversation with her. Don't forget, you can see the videos by logging onto our YouTube account, A Big Mouthful, or through the links on our Twitter page, A Mouthful Big. All the links will be in the blurb on the website for the podcast. As always, we really would like you to get in touch with us, to give us any feedback of what you've heard today, and to get in touch with us with suggestions about what you would like to hear for future podcasts. Maybe you'd like to be a guest on one of the podcasts talking about a subject that is really near and dear to your heart. Email us at abigmouthful1, that's a big mouthful, then the numeral 1, abigmouthful1@gmail.com. So that about wraps it up for this podcast. Until you hear from us again, please look after yourself and stay safe out there. Bye-bye.